Welcome to the Chris Saylor Show. I'm Jerry Price. I am joined by Princeton head women's lacrosse coach Chris Saylor. Coach, welcome aboard.
Thanks, Jerry. Good to be here.
Well, we were just talking a second ago about the last time your team played on February 29th. It is going to be February 29th, Saturday, when your team plays its first Ivy League game at Columbia. And it's possible you've never played on February 29th before. I have to look up when the last time February 29th was a Saturday, but it could be after the Ivy League went before the March 1st start date for games. So it's possible this could be your first February 29th game.
Could be, but don't forget about the midweek. It could have been on a midweek.
Oh, yeah. I'll look that up. Did you ever see the Pirates of Penzance?
I never did, although...
Gilbert and Sullivan?
No, I never did, though. You know I do love Broadway shows.
So the premise is the guy is... He's committed to being an indentured servant until he turns 18, except he was born on February 29th, and it's all, you know, it all works out in the end for everybody.
Well, that kind of reminds me of the Modern Family. Did you see that episode where Cam's birthday is on February 29th? So he has a big celebration that he's 10 and he's really 40.
I didn't see. Maybe that was.
It's a classic. It's a classic.
From one of the early seasons, right?
You know, I watch the reruns, so I can't tell you.
The first maybe like 4 or 5 seasons of that show were tremendous, and then it just fell off the table.
Oh, come on. It's one of my top 2 all-time favorite sitcoms.
I will say that some of the funniest episodes of that show are as funny as anything has ever been on TV.
True.
So, we could go on like this all day. We don't even have to talk about lacrosse. We could start today with, I got a question asked to ask you, and the question is this. Why is Kyla Sears so effective at drawing free positions?
Well, number one, she takes the drives, and they're always sending multiple people to her. And when you, when you drive hard and you draw double teams or triple teams, inevitably refs are looking to make those calls and you'll get them. And then she uses her body really well. You know, she leans in well without charging. So, you know, that often creates some contact as well that winds up being a free position for her. But she's shifty, you know, and so people think she has her, and then she might reattack or she'll go the other way, and then defenders get caught leaning and reaching and trying to stop her, and that yields fouls.
12 goals on the season so far. That leads the team through 3 games, 6 of them on free positions, and she's 6 for 10 on free position opportunities. And I actually didn't look up what her stats are for her career, but they're pretty good on free positions. And, you know, it's a good question. Why are some players so much more successful at drawing the free position shots than others? And that's the question. If you have questions for Coach Saylor, you can always ask him. We're happy to relay them to Coach Saylor. Let's talk about the last 2 games. Your team, since we spoke, your team lost to Virginia 12-10 on Saturday in your only home game in the first 6 weeks of the season. And then went on the road yesterday to Villanova, an 18-13 win. Just, you know, if you want to give us some basic thoughts on how those 2 games played out.
Yeah, you know, the Virginia game, I really think, you know, had a few things gone differently for us. It could have been a different result. We certainly had our opportunities. We had 34 shots, I believe, with only 10 goals, and that's well below where we normally are. We were shooting 29% and had some looks right in front of the cage that we weren't able to put away. I thought their goalie played really well. And then, you know, Virginia, big, strong, powerful, physical, fast players on that team, and they gave our defense all we could handle in the first half. I thought we made some good adjustments in the second half, forcing inside, sending doubles earlier, you know, but they were able to capitalize on more of their opportunities. But the stats were really pretty even in that game. Could have gone either way. It's tough for us to lose that, being that, you know, at the time they're a top 10 team, and that would have been a nice feather in the cap early in the season. But, you know, we had to rebound really quickly and go down to Villanova to play a team that had just come off of a 3-goal win over Navy, and very similar size kids, big, strong, powerful.
They were big.
Big. I mean, at one point, I think Maddie Stasek was matched up against Liz Trojan. I'm like, oh my God, look at that matchup. Or Olivia Pugh, you know. They definitely had some size and went hard. I thought played really well together.
You could see on the draw, like the size, just the height difference.
Yeah. But, you know, we ended up winning the draws 23-9. So
that was largely because of Marge Donovan. We'll get to her in a few seconds. But or we could talk about her now. So Marge, a defender, one of the top defenders in the country, but also playing on the circle on draw controls, which draws, which she had done as a freshman 2 years ago. And I think she finished with 9.
She finished with 9 out of our 23, so that's a, you know, significant percentage.
It's her second career game with at least with 9, and I think only 8 players have ever done that in program history, have 9 draw controls in a game. You know, she brings tenacity that you need to be successful at picking up the loose ball in those kinds of circumstances.
She absolutely does. And, you know, she has the height to go up for the ball, and she can win some of the loose balls on the ground. I've got to give credit, too, to Coach Maurer, Karen Maurer. She's working with those kids all the time and making sure in every draw situation they are positioned on the correct side so they can get, you know, the jump based upon how the draw is set up and who's taking it and where it's likely to go. And, you know, our players on the circle, Marge being one of them, you know, they've got to come through with that. But it really is a full team effort from the player taking the draw. It was Grace Tuckus took some draws, and then we brought in Catherine McIntyre, you know, specifically for the faceoffs. And when you're able to get the ball where you want to your team, it definitely helps.
Now I don't feel as bad for referring to them as faceoffs since you just did. But speaking of faceoffs versus draws, one thing about the way the men's game is statted is the faceoff, win or loss, is given to the person who takes the faceoff.
Yeah.
And then if somebody else happens to get possession, they get a ground ball. In the women's game, the draw control is given to the player who controls the ball. And if there's a foul and nobody has controlled the ball, it's the player the ball is awarded to. So every draw has a draw control associated with it. But nobody's really tracking, or you probably are, but statistically the NCAA is not tracking the success of the person actually in the middle of the circle taking the draws.
And we've talked about that as a coaches group. That was one thing that was talked about at our convention. You know, that's on people's minds. That may change going forward. But for now, the stats still given to who does the work to corral the draw.
One thing I don't like about changing stats is what the impact it has historically. So if you start keeping in 2021 that, and it changes how you award draw controls, it's going to change your record keeping from going all the way back. But at the same time, I feel like, you know, it's one of the reasons I don't want to go to 2 assists on a goal in lacrosse like you have in hockey, even though there's a lot of plays where you have what you know, they call hockey assists, which are deserved, but it would just destroy assist stats and they would no longer have any meaning.
And that's already happened in our game. I mean, ground balls now, they're awarded much less frequently than they used to be in the past. And so it's really tough to make any dent in some of the ground ball, all-time ground ball statistics champions or record holders because of the way they're statted now. I totally agree with you on that.
So, I mean, the ground balls on the men's side, you are awarded a ground ball if you gain possession of a loose ball or you intercept a pass. So it doesn't actually have to be on the ground. But essentially, if you gain possession of the ball and it's contested, it doesn't matter if you know, so if I'm on your team, you lose the ball, I pick the ball up, I get a ground ball. In the women's game, you only get a ground ball if possession changes or if it's a rebound after a shot.
Shot.
And so I think you're missing out on a lot of opportunities. Here's 2 things. One is I think you're missing out on a lot of opportunities to really, you know, to get a good sense of, like in men's lacrosse, attackment a lot of times, like Chris Brown leads the men's lacrosse team in ground balls. It's a very good indicator of how important he is on rides and keeping possessions going. In the women's game, there is no real corresponding stat for that. And then the other problem you have in women's lacrosse is not everybody realizes that. So you have some schools that are giving out ground balls like they're Halloween candy, and then you have other teams that aren't.
I totally agree with that.
The first part or the second part or both?
Well, the second part for sure. And, you know, I think that can be a problem in our game that, you know, are the stats keepers really on top of how the stats are meant to be taken? And the people who are hired, the students who are watching the stats, are they really on top of it? So,
and you have such a disparity. Like at some places, the lacrosse contact on the men's or women's side is somebody like me who's been doing it for, you know, decades. And then on the other hand, you have some places where that person is a first-year intern or a student or, you know, and so you don't have the same level of continuity. And, I mean, that's okay on a certain level, but then you have player of the week or you have all-league and all-American, and a lot of that is statistically driven. And, you know, sometimes that affects awards and honors and things like that.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about your 2 freshmen who are scoring. So Kyla is your leading scorer. Your next 2 leading goal scorers, both freshmen. Carrie Bonanno and Grace Takis. And Grace had six yesterday against Villanova. They have both, you know, the one thing that really impresses the most about them when you watch them play is neither one of them looks like they have any fear. You know, they're just out there playing, and they don't care that it's two or three games into their college career.
Yeah, and that's what you really want in your players. I mean, you got to be fearless on the field. You just got to love to play the game and compete and not, you know, be in your head or be worried about if you're going to catch the ball. I mean, those kids just make plays. And, you know, Kari's been phenomenal for us all along with her speed, her ability to defend and make things happen in the transition game. And finish on the attack end. And then Grace has just totally come into her own as a powerful attacker for us. Yesterday had six goals, probably easily could have had one or two more, but she's always looking to set other people up as well.
Some of the goals she scored were pretty, they weren't just catch the ball and put in the goal. Like she had that little underhand shovel goal. And
yeah,
you know, some of them were pretty acrobatic and spectacular as well.
Absolutely. And what I love, I mean, the two of them have had a number of really good connections as well. In the Virginia game, Kari got this great turnover on the right, came up with the ball, fed it to Grace, who, you know, just powered it home. And it's nice to see those two forming that connection. I think we really needed, especially with Tess having been out, we really needed some people to step up and take on some of the scoring load. And to see that coming from two freshmen who are playing fearlessly like they are and just really composed and loving being part of the team, I mean, that's just awesome.
So, I mean, it's a little bit like when Bella Allery was out last year with the women's basketball team and missed the first, I think it was seven or eight or nine games. Other people had to step up. And then when she came back, the team was that much more effective. When Tess comes back, you're going to add a 60-plus goal scorer to the mix with a group that's already established its own ability to get to the goal. And that was really one of the big questions for this year after the graduation of so many people from last year. You never want to see anybody get hurt, but you know, there is a silver lining, if it were, as it were. It really has forced these two players specifically to step up, and also Katie Riley.
Yeah.
And
I was going to bring her up too, because I think she's really doing a good job for us. 5 points yesterday at Villanova. She's getting points in every game. She's doing her best, you know, to lead back there.
Leads the team in assists with seven. Had that great pass yesterday to the backside. I believe it was to Jordan Marcus.
Jordan, yeah, and that was her first goal of her college career. She's missed her first 2 years with injury. So that was just such a special moment for Jordan and for the team. I mean, everybody rushed her, and that was just great to see.
It was a great pass, too.
Yeah, really was.
And like I said, Katie Riley leading the team in assists. You know, 2-1 record, you'd like that to be 3-0, but it was the same 2-1 as last year. You know, some struggles last year that got sort of forgotten with the 11-game winning streak that followed, but 5-3 after eight games and then ended up in the NCAA quarterfinals. So takes a little while to get going, especially with the short preseason. Now you go into the Ivy League season, and your Ivy League opener Saturday, noon?
Is noon, yeah.
Noon at Columbia is... It corresponds with 4 weeks from when you started practice, and you've already played three games, and now you have your Ivy League opener. Columbia 0-3 with losses to Army, Fairfield, and Siena. You know, what's your take on that? And you're entering sort of an interesting phase of the season where you have the game Saturday, then you have 8 days off, or seven full days, an eighth mm-hmm. day you play against mm-hmm. at Stony Brook, and then nine more days till you play at Jacksonville, so a chance to really catch up on practice.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to having that time to, you know, just continue to grow as a team and as individual offensive and defensive units. You know, it's tough getting ready to play in just 2 weeks' time. And so to be able to have that chunk before we really get into the heart of the season, I mean, once we hit Jacksonville, we're off and running Jacksonville, Brown, Florida, Penn State, Dartmouth, Maryland. I mean, you can go all the way down the schedule, and there's not much of a break there. So it'll be, and it's also over midterm week, you know, for our players. So they'll get a couple of, you know, of days to just focus on their academics over that week, and we get some time to fine tune and to add some things.
Feels like the semester just started. It's almost midterms already. So
seriously.
What do you see from Columbia?
You know, I think Columbia is a, you know, they've had a bit of a tough start right now. And I think they're like us. They're probably continuing to grow. You know, I think for us, it's really not so much about Columbia as it is in every game, it's really about us going out and trying to play our best regardless of who the opponent is. I mean, they're going to present troubles just like everybody else does, but, you know, we're going to have to be on our game defensively. They tend to create some good spacing within their offense, have a couple of good one-on-one dodgers. So, you know, we're going to have to be ready with our slides, our communication, our angles on ball. And I want to, you know, have the attack continue. We've been able to put up, you know, a lot of goals in some of our opening games, and we want to continue along that line, playing a smart team offense.
So it's Princeton, Columbia, New York City, Saturday at noon. We'll be back next week to talk about that game and to look ahead to Stony Brook. Coach, good luck on Saturday. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
For Princeton Head Women's Lacrosse Coach Chris Saylor, I'm Jerry Price. Thank you for joining us here each week, and thank you for your continued support of Princeton Women's Lacrosse.